thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. So they'll come on the program. State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter from Rainesville up in DeKalb County will be with us in the next hour. And Sean Ross, SR Communications, and the Katie Brick campaign as well. So you want to stay tuned for that. 11 o'clock hour coming up here shortly. Joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Always very kind to come on. Congressman Jerry Carl here in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. What a beautiful day to be in South Alabama.
Well, that's good to hear. Good to hear. Let's kick it off here, Congressman. Your reaction to the leaked opinion, the leaked brief on Roe v. Wade, kind of coming at us hot and fast, I would say. But what did you make of that?
We expected that to come out before the election because the Democrat Party needs to hang their hat on something. We expected the ruling, not this leak. And we need to understand that this is not over. Don't quit praying for this because it's far from over. I mean, we've got judges that can change their mind. This was an initial draft; should have never been leaked. I heard one of your, listening to you earlier, one of your writers said we're not, Republican Party will do nothing about it. It's not the Republican Party's job to do that, but if it does become our job to do that, I promise you, we're going to find who leaked that, and we're going to penalize them for it. I think the judges will disbar them and do everything they could possibly do, because they have an understanding in there that stuff does not leak out, period. So let's don't get too excited. The Democrat Party needs a spark. I mean, they've got high inflation. They've got everything working against them. And this is one area that we anticipated to get the ruling back. We anticipated the ruling to be positive in our favor, and in the people's favor. And it's just the way we thought it would happen. We didn't anticipate a leak, of course, but we anticipated the Democrats. This would be their rallying cry to get everybody to the polls.
Well, that, you know, there's probably a fundraising component. There's a lot of weird things that we're talking, like where the ends justify the means, and that kind of attitude when it comes to how our government operates, just as a sheer brute force way into power, I do find it a little troubling.
I find it very troubling. Of all places, our Supreme Court should be very unpolitical. Now, it's become political. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to argue that with anyone. But it should be the members sitting down and working out and defying laws that are written. You know, I like the idea of this coming back to the state. It's not a clean sweep. Everybody says it's going to do away with abortion. No, it's not. It's going to give the state the choice of whether to enforce it or not. So, you know, I'm one of these that just want to sit and watch, let the Democrats spin themselves out. I hope we don't get a rule until after the election. I mean, that'll just drive the Democrats crazy. That will drive them crazy. Because now everybody's saying, oh, it's going to be out the next few days. There's no telling when it's going to come out. There's no way of us knowing.
Well, what if – I don't think this is very likely to happen, but this may have been one of the motives. What if it flips the decision, 5-4 decision, the other way?
I can't – I mean, the way the Democrats have done this, I can't see it being read positive by any of the judges because they hold their offices in such a powerful position. They don't want to be bullied by the Republicans or the Democrats. So – we're assuming the Democrats leaked this. The liberals leaked this. Obviously, we feel that way. So I think it's working against them. The fundraising part has already started. They're raising on this now. I mean, it wasn't 15 minutes after this come out. I saw the first fundraiser. And actually, it was on TV. They were showing Democrats raising funds off of it. So Democrats are a very wealthy party. Most people don't realize how wealthy they truly are, but they are very wealthy. They don't hesitate to raise money on anything. They have no morals.
Yeah, but I you know, and looking at the politics of this congressman, you got to wonder, this red wave, this isn't stopping the red wave. I you know, this may be a Hail Mary pass they're throwing here, but they're down by more than a touchdown. Even if they connect on it, it's still scoreboard time, right?
Well, again, you're talking about a small percentage of people that will actually go to the polls, talking about Democrats, that are going to go to the polls and vote on this one issue. I mean, they're not going to be driven by this one issue. Now, I think the Republicans are much more passionate about it because we have lost this so many times. I think it will help the Republicans if you talk about numbers of people actually going to the polls. But the Republicans, I mean, the Democrats are really, really struggling to get anything that they can hold up and say, look what we've done the last 2 years. Look how strong we've been. I mean, everything they've done has just been failure, failure, failure. I mean, look at the open borders. Look at Afghanistan. I mean, it just goes on and on. And people want to blame President Biden. He's just part of the problem. The Democrat Party is the real problem there, and he's part of that decision. So all these bad policies that he's putting in place are passing through the House or passing through the Senate, they're able to get them through because they're in control. And we're going to change that in November. November, we're going to wax them. And we're all working very hard. We're not taking anything for granted. I'll assure you that. I've got five candidates that I'm focused on. I'm raising money. I'm offering to go in the field, work for them, do everything I can do to make sure those five Democrat seats are flipped to Republican. And we've got roughly about 72 or 73 that are picked out and possibly be flipped. I don't for a minute think we're going to flip that many. But even if we flip 50% of it, you know, where would it put us? It put us in a huge control of the House. And the Senate's going the same way. I was with a couple senators the other day. They anticipate picking up three more seats, which will obviously give them 53. And that's where we need to be to hold this president's feet to the fire until 2024, and we'll see, you know, who the next president's going to be. It won't be a Democrat. It's going to be a Republican.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. The Republicans expected to take back Congress. They get the gavel back. What happens? What happens next, do you think? I understand there's only limited things you could do, but one would have to think some of the oversight, maybe some investigations. Where do you see when Republicans hit the ground running, where are they going?
Well, first of all, we will come out with a program very similar to Newt Gingrich. What was his called? The Contract with America?
Right.
You'll see us come out with something very similar to that in July. So far, we've got about 20 items that we're going to hold ourselves responsible and get those 20 things done over the next 2 years, balance the budget, or offering a balanced budget, which will take a whole lot longer than 2 years to get us there, but actually start working towards some of these things. We need to restore confidence back in the American government. I mean, everybody, including Republicans, have just lost all confidence. So we'll have 20 things there. Now, you're talking about what are we going to investigate. What I don't want to do is spend the next 2 years investigating every rabbit that runs by us. There are some things we need to look at. I think Hunter Biden and his shenanigans over in Ukraine and Russia, China, I think all that needs to be investigated, needs to be looked at. I know for a fact we're already compiling all the information we need to do that. That will happen very fast. We will link a lot of other people with that, other than just, and I have not seen the information. This is just Jerry talking from what he hears. We will link several other high-ranking elected American officers with Biden, with Hunter. Because it's not just Hunter. Most people got to realize that. These things don't come together just because of one person. There's going to be multi-people involved in this. But one-on-one, Jeff, I'll share with you later, you know, where I think that's going. I don't want to spread any false rumors. I think that's unfair. But we are going after that. Now, some of this other stuff, I really don't know. We'll just have to play it by ear. But I personally want to focus on getting the job done. People in District 1, they trusted me to go up there and get a job done for District 1. And I don't want to chase every rabbit that runs in front of me. Again, there are some things we do need to look at. We do need answers to. But we can't spend the next 2 years dragging everybody in the world into a courtroom and asking questions. I think it's just unfair to the working class people that won't their salaries up. They want fuel prices down. They want inflation under control. They want their country to be more control of their borders. I mean, so I'm very passionate about, let's don't get too far in the weeds on this issue of what we're going to do.
Congressman, one other question for you on some of this, and it's kind of a delicate topic. The stuff that's been leaked about Leader McCarthy and the tapes of the conversations with Liz Cheney, does any of that matter to you?
No, sir. And I'll tell you the reason why. There were several different, seven different topics that if you listen to the entire tape, and I have not, but I'm told there are seven different scenarios that he went through. And one of these scenarios was the only one that they used. The morning after it leaked, President Trump at 5:30 in the morning called McCarthy, and the first thing out of Trump's mouth is, "McCarthy, we're good. Don't worry about me." So even the president knows what, you know, as management and as leaders, you have to go through all the scenarios. You just have to. Whether you like them or not, you have to look and see what the options are. And it was a group conversation. I think there were four people on that phone call. I've never recorded a phone call. I have no intention of recording a phone call. But I guess that's a pretty popular thing to do. Somebody's recorded it, and we've got our own speculation on that. But it doesn't bother me. I mean, McCarthy's got in the leadership role he's in. He's got to play out every role. I said things on that day. I text things on that day to my staff that I had to go ask God to forgive me for. I mean, I was upset. Now, I didn't do anything to jeopardize the country or any deep, dark secrets, because that was day two for me on the floor. But, that day affected all of us in a very harsh manner, and we said a lot of things that we wish we would not have said.
Well,
McCarthy, I think, is good in his response. I was there when they gave him the standing ovation at the meeting when he explained what happened. Everybody was good with it. We're moving on.
Well, let me ask you this. Look at the way this January 6th committee has been handled. And I just don't think that this could go. No one's talking about this, but it's troubling to me how stuff from that committee is just getting sent to the media, violating people's private citizens' privacy. We saw what happened to Jenny Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas. But Congress is using its power, and they're using their subpoena power, and they have these records, and they're just willy-nilly giving them to the media. And no one seems to think that this is something that we need to be concerned about. To me, that's just, we're in a whole new realm here if Congress has that kind of ability. What do you think of that, the way this is being handled?
Jeff, we've become a society that if we don't all think alike, we're wrong. And I was just raised much different. I've got friends that are Democrats. I go to dinner with them. I talk to them. I want to hear their opinion. I want to hear why they think the way they think. I want to understand them, and I want them to understand me, too, because I'm also, telling them my opinion, and that's important. But Washington has got to where if you get out of line, if you say anything that's not exactly the way, especially the Democrat Party, they will just try to destroy you and your reputation, and they just come after you. And it's unfair, because people have a right to have their opinion. We're in a country where we encourage that. So January 6th was a bad day. There were some bad players involved in it. Should we have looked into it? Yes, but should we have taken the last 2 years going through this and dragging everybody into it and just burning so much energy and so much money? Just think where the Democrat Party would be now if they would have just done a quick overview, called a few players bad, and moved on. I mean, they could be focusing on closing the border. They could be focusing on so many other things that we need, that are positive things, instead of just trying to continuously slam Trump, slam, you know, all the folks in the Freedom Caucus. Whether you agree with them or not, they are entitled to their opinion. And when they start tearing things up, and it was only a handful, I was there, that tore things up. Most everything I've seen were spectators. It's unfair that we can't have an opinion. You know, we can't have an opinion about race. We can't have an opinion about sex. We can't have an opinion about identification. You know, we can't have an opinion without being attacked. And it's not the way this country was set up and designed. God made us all different for a reason. And that's a good thing. We can be different, and we can sit down at the table, and we can work together. That's nothing wrong with that. But the society we live in now is either you're for it or against it, and there's no in between, and that's dangerous.
Real quick, we'll get you out of here on this, but back to that question though. You couldn't ever envision a scenario where Republicans, if they're in charge, subpoenaing electronic records and releasing them to the media. Or is that where we are now as a country?
No, I hope not. I hope the Republicans are higher than that. I mean, all this leaking stuff. Washington, as you well know, you know better than I know, it's just a city of sieves. Everything leaks up there. But, you know, there's just so many things. We've got to add, the Republican Party's got to add responsibility and try to bring it back to order. And all of this leaking out from the January 6th stuff, that is so ridiculous. And the amount of just time and effort and money we've spent on that is just, it's off the scale. And you look at the people involved in it, they're all just haters. They hate everything about it. I mean, most of these elected officials, if I hated America this bad, I'm in darn if I'd be trying to represent it.
Congressman, you've been very kind with your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jeff.
All right. Take care. You too. We'll watch you later. Congressman Jerry Carl there. Let's get a break here. This is FM Talk 106.5.
The British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high, and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns, and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more, and they began to run on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.